All right, folks, thanks for joining us. Getting back to the show here, where we left off before the break is we were talking about what are you going to do if you wake up. Now, this is a common occurrence, especially out in the country where I live, and especially, you know, or particularly during the wintertime, if the power goes out. Now, the power usually goes out, you know, who knows when, sometime in the middle of the night when you're not ready and expecting it. Now, fortunately, if like I do, if you heat with wood, you're not going to have a problem with the temperature in your home. So you're not going to wake up freezing and wonder what's going on. But that is going to leave you with a bit of a problem when you go to accomplish arguably the most important task of the day, which is going over and starting that coffee maker. Because who is any good without fresh, hot, black coffee? Now, you wake up, there's no coffee. You're already going to be upset because there's no power, right? So you need to have a plan. What you don't want to do is wait until you get up. And if you got to rush out the door, get to work, or if you got kids, get them to school and all this stuff, and you have no idea how to get coffee. If you're like me, I am no good before I have my first pot of coffee. And I wake up, and if there's no coffee and I know I can't get any for a couple of hours, I'm going to be in a very bad mood. So what do you do? I can tell you what I do, and then, you know, hopefully some of this information is useful to you. No one is trying to say this is revolutionary or, you know, some kind of an amazing new idea, but just simple things that go with the theme of the show, which is preparedness. Not only preparing your gear, but preparing your mind and everything so that when something does not go according to plan, you're ready to go. So let's get right into it. What do I do? The easiest thing to do is I have one of those Coleman type. I think it is a Coleman, actually. One of the two-burner propane stoves. Now, if you're like most outdoor guys, you probably got a whole, you know, a couple of like those big plastic bins full of your outdoor gear, stoves, flashlights, boots, backpacks, yada, yada, yada. What you don't want to do is leave it in there. I have this one in a cabinet in the kitchen so that it's right there. There's a little one of those little propane, I think it's 16-ounce propane bottles next to it that's ready to go. I want to make sure it's not empty so you don't go to ignite the canister or the cartridge and you'd have no propane. But that accomplishes your energy portion of making coffee, meaning how are you going to get hot water? Now, if you have one of those, like a power cell, or basically it's a big block battery. Power station, they call them, a whole bunch of different names. You can use those to maybe run, if it's a large enough, you can use that to run your coffee maker, but be forewarned, make sure you test it first, because the smaller power stations, even up to the size of like a couple of encyclopedias thick, they often will not power coffee-making devices or any type of device that heats water, because those require a lot of juice, and those battery packs or power cells, they will not power that. So you want to make sure if that's what you're going to rely on, which is fine, those work fine too, that, you know, you have that ready and you have the correct size and the correct power level to be able to brew coffee. You may also use a generator. I have a generator as well, but I'm going to be honest, if I wake up and it's the middle of winter and there's several inches or a foot or more of snow, I don't want to have to go outside and get the generator going and then run the cord and all that kind of junk. I don't have it wired directly into my house. So I have to go and get it started and then run a cord and all that kind of junk. I want coffee first thing. And then after I've had that cup of coffee, I'll sort the rest out. So your individual circumstances may vary. You may have a different setup. You need to tailor this approach to that. But enough jabbering. Let's get to it. So I get the Coleman set up. Then you can put whatever kind of pot or vessel you want on that and boil water. That's easy. Anybody can boil water. Now the next step is, what are you going to use to actually produce the coffee? Let's see the old list here. I've got these listed in order of preference, the actual coffee device that I'll use. Number one is a product called the AeroPress. Now, I'm not getting paid to promote any of these products, but if you've never used the AeroPress, this is an extremely handy device that will make one cup of absolutely deliciously rich coffee at a time. The way it works is it's very similar to a French press. It's a plastic cylinder about the size of a can of Pringles, only a little bit shorter. And you put a little paper filter in the bottom. You put your coffee grounds in, and then you pour boiling water in there. And you put the top back in to prevent the water from seeping out. If you ever watch, you can watch a video on this on YouTube. There's thousands of videos on how to use the AeroPress, A-E-R-O press. and you put it in there and put the lid in to keep it from seeping out, and you let the coffee steep for about a minute, minute and a half is what I do. And then you just press it all the way down into your cup, and you've got a hot cup of coffee ready to go. Now, it's very, very similar to a French press because the grounds are steeping in water for a full minute, just like a French press. However, because of the small paper filter, unlike French press coffee, there is next to no sediment in your coffee. It's a very clean, it's a very sharp cup of coffee. So I like it a lot. The only downside is it makes one cup at a time. So if you've got multiple people or if you're on a time crunch or whatever, that may not be the best solution for you. But it's a great emergency way to make coffee, or any day of the week, really. You can get the little paper filters. I get them off of Amazon, some other off-brand, because they charge, I don't know, some ridiculous price if you buy them directly from the manufacturer. It's just a tiny little piece of paper in the shape of a circle that goes in there. Like I said, you look it up online, you can see what this thing looks like. They're a great little device. Number two is the French press. French press is great. If you're not familiar with French press, a coffee press, they've got a number of different names for them. It's a glass vessel that you'll put your grounds in, pour in about 3 or 4 cups of coffee worth of boiling hot water, and then you put the plunger on top of it and let it steep. And after, I usually do about 5.5 minutes or so, then you're going to go ahead and press down on the plunger, and there's a mesh filter that pushes all the coffee grounds to the bottom. And it makes a delicious cup of coffee as well. Very rich, a little bit more sediment than like the AeroPress or a regular drip coffee. So drip coffee is probably not going to work because if your power's out and you don't have the generator going, you know, those devices draw a lot of juice when they have to boil and heat water. So those are two great options. The advantage of the French press is you can do, you know, enough coffee for 3 or 4 cups or several people, depending on the size of your press, in one shot. The downside to the French press is if you're making coffee for one person and you take your time drinking your coffee, it's getting cool or cold while you're sitting there drinking because there's no heating element going on there. So just be mindful of those limitations. Next, the one that I use, this would be my last resort of the filtered coffee products. You can get these little things at Amazon, the box stores all carry them. It's an individual, like a coffee filter and a little plastic thing that sits on top of your coffee cup. You put the coffee grounds in there and you pour the water through, and they'll either have a paper or a steel mesh filter to keep the grounds from going into your cup. They do a serviceable job. Nowhere near as good and as rich and velvety as like the AeroPress or the French press, but they do a serviceable job, and if you're in an emergency or in a pinch, they will work. And they're fast. Again, these do one cup of coffee at a time, but they will work. Finally, the last choice, the bottom of the list, is instant coffee. I have never been a fan of instant coffee. Almost every instant coffee I've ever had, probably every instant coffee that I've ever had, leaves this odd aftertaste in your mouth. You're, you know, sitting there smacking your lips trying to get rid of this weird aftertaste. There is a good one that I keep for emergencies that I get from Trader Joe's. It has the cream and the sugar powdered versions built into the coffee. So it's not amazing, but it doesn't have that same strong aftertaste, probably because the cream and the sugar are hiding it. So anyway, that's another alternative that you have if you don't want to go the brewing method or whatever else. So that gives you a couple of options. Then once you get your coffee, you're fully caffeinated, and now you can think straight. Your homicidal urges have, you know, somewhat subsided, and you can now see clearly and not see red. Then you can go about attacking the day. But, you know, that's the same thing over and over again. It's about preparing beforehand. I got caught myself a couple of months ago. We had a power outage, and I had been using the Coleman stove to cook in the backyard. So it was locked up out back in the shed. So I wake up. I was nice and warm because the fire was going in the wood stove. But now there's no electricity, and I have to get, you know, there was literally over a foot of snow on the ground. So, you know, I got to get enough clothes on and boots to go outside. I put these stupid Crocs on because I was too lazy. So I'm walking in the back. All the snow is getting inside. My feet are freezing. I'm angry. Keep in mind, this has all happened within the first 5 minutes of waking up, but I know I got to get that coffee going. And so I had to go, you know, open the padlocks and all this stuff in the shed to get the stinking stove out. I was a victim of my own poor choices. didn't have that stove ready. So don't be like me. Make sure you have that stove and a full canister of your fuel inside the house. And that way you're ready to go in the morning. So we're going to move to one other story. I found this one when I was going through the news here. This was, I believe, in late 2024. This one comes to us out of California. And one of the points I wanted to make about the stories in Oregon, we see a lot of these stories come out of Oregon of people getting stranded and needing rescue. Part of the problem, like that Horsetail Falls and these other stories, those locations are so close to the city that a 35, 40-minute drive or less gets you into some beautiful, absolutely lush, amazingly green, you know, outdoors and wilderness areas. It's just beautiful. And I think that deceives people because it's so close to home. They think, okay, I can't go out on a hike and die when I'm 25 minutes from the house. But look at what happened. That guy almost got himself, in the previous story we discussed at Horsetail Falls, that guy almost got himself in seriously deep water, and he was 45 minutes from home or less. So you got to be careful. Preparedness is not just about going out and buying the best gear. That's what we see a lot today in America. Everybody just wants to go to Amazon, just buy me the thing that's going to make me the best and yada, 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 and give it to me. And then I'm going to go back to my phone and watching TV or whatever else. All it takes is a little bit of planning beforehand, and you're going to be much better off than just having a bunch of expensive or good quality gear that's still in its packaging. So anyway, that's the takeaway from that for me. Let's look at these guys. This comes to us from the Inyo County Search and Rescue Team in California. They sculled a set of hikers who needed assistance after being unable to summit Mount Whitney. Two hikers began their trek on Friday evening with the intent to summit the mountain on Saturday, Inyo SAR, Search and Rescue, posted on Facebook. Equipped with 150 pounds of newly purchased gear, so basically they were a walking REI commercial, plus 5 gallons of water. Now, I don't know if that's 5 gallons total, 5 gallons each, but that is an insane amount of water. Now, keep in mind, they're going to Mount Whitney. Mount Whitney is about 14,000 and a half, 14,500 or so feet. That's a big trek, and it doesn't sound like these people were experienced. Their gear isn't broken in. It's brand new. So what happened? They were exhausted, and one subject had 2 blisters and a bad headache, Inyo SAR wrote. That sounds like just a regular walk around town for some of us, but okay. They later woke up, so they stopped to camp on the trail at 3 a.m., and I guess they laid down and went to bed. In the middle of their ascent, they decided to take a nap on the trail. They later woke up to snowfall with their shoes full of snow. So clearly, I think it is safe to assume they had no idea what they were doing. And they were going to attempt to summit a 14,500-foot mountain. The exhausted and ill-prepared hikers then called the search and rescue team for assistance, Inyo SAR wrote. One hiker reportedly told responders that she had a mass in her brain that is sensitive to barometric pressure. I am not a doctor of any sort, and I don't really even know exactly what's going on here, but if you know you have a mass in your brain that is sensitive to barometric pressure, it may not be a good idea to hike a nearly 15,000-foot mountain. I don't know. Rescue teams mobilized at 10 a.m. Saturday and reached the hikers at 1:40 p.m. Once the pair's shoes had dried and they had rested in the sun, so basically they had themselves a very, very expensive and exhausting picnic, they were able to begin their hike back to the trailhead, accompanied by first responders and another hiker who helped carry some of their gear. So they got somebody else carrying their stuff down for them. Okay. So what do we learn, guys? It's about preparedness. And again, we're going to discuss a lot of different topics, from coffee to not just outdoors, but all kinds of things in coming shows. It's a mindset. And, you know, using your gear before you need it, preparing, making sure things are ready. And, you know, being ready, as they said in the old Roadhouse film, expect the unexpected. So we're going to go ahead and call it a wrap there. Make sure you think ahead, and remember, don't wait for an emergency to prepare yourself and your gear. Be ready beforehand. Forewarned is forearmed. Because if you don't make it out alive, you won't make it out at all. Stay safe out there, folks.